The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, I'll start with an analogy. So if you're walking maybe along the ocean cliff in a very strong windstorm, and in order to walk and deal with a strong wind, you kind of have to lean forward into the wind and kind of really plant your feet down strongly, and it takes a lot of work because, you know, if you don't lean far enough, it might tip you backwards. So it's a lot of work to keep doing it. And and so you're concerned about not falling over, you're concerned about the wind, and you know, you're engaged, and it's almost second nature to lean forward and keep going and do this. And then after a while, the wind starts to decrease, and then you don't have to try so hard anymore. It's not like a hurricane anymore, so just a strong wind. You still need to kind of deal with the wind, but it just doesn't take quite as much effort. And then after a while, the wind dies down, stops. And then you're still pushing ahead and leaning ahead and putting your feet in. And now you feel, wait a minute, I'm exhausting myself. And now you really notice how much work you're putting in. And you're noticing how unnecessary it is and how much it gets in the way. So then you kind of just relax and walk in a very simple, relaxed way. And you, being so concerned, so focused on walking well and not tipping over and being, you know, really taking care of yourself and being, you don't have to be so concerned with your walking and every step you put. And you just walk and it's very nice. And the fact that you're doing the walking, it's nice to walk, but you're not thinking about walking, you're not focusing on walking well. It's just that the idea of you being the walker disappears because it's just easy to walk. And then you walk for a while, and after a while you feel that, I've walked for a long time, I'm starting to get kind of tired. Even this easy walking, relaxed walking, is tiring. So you sit down and just, oh, this is good. Doing less is good. And in fact, even though that easy walking in the windless space was kind of effortless and nice and felt really good initially, it did take some effort. And after a while, because I walked so far, that effort was going to be tiring. And now it's so good just sit here and not make that effort. It's good not to make an effort and just to be here and sit here and look at the view of the cliffs and the ocean. And how nice. And then you sit there for a while. And then you feel, after a while, sitting up is tiring. I had a cold earlier in the month, and I had to sit up for these events I was teaching in. And after about 2.5 of sitting up, I could feel the kind of symptoms come back, because sitting up was actually, it takes a lot of work to sit up. But, you know, if you're healthy, you don't notice. But, you know, when you're sick, like, oh, you know, even just doing this is a lot. And then I lay down, and then it was okay again. So you're sitting there on the bench and looking at the ocean, and after a while sitting up feels like too much effort. And what feels really good is to not have to make that. You didn't realize there's a little effort. You're applying yourself a little bit to sit up, and it does take a little effort. But maybe I'll just stop that, and I'll lay down on the bench. And it's so nice to lay down. You look at the clouds going over, and it's just so good. And just reverie and looking at the clouds, and, you know, just like so nice and so good. And after a while, it seems like, you know, it's wonderful. You get kind of concentrated and very quiet and still just looking at the clouds drifting by. And after a while, looking at the clouds is tiring with the eyes. And so you close your eyes. It seems like the natural thing to do, to close your eyes. And then you say, oh, this is good. It's so nice to just lay here and do nothing and have so little sensory input in, and just kind of just so peaceful. And then you notice that having those thoughts about how nice it is to be here and do nothing, that actually those are tiring too. And it's a little bit too much, you know, in the context of all this. And so then you say, what if I stop doing this? And so you stop having these thoughts about how nice it is and how great it is, and then it's so peaceful, so nice. And then you find that you're, at some point, you're a little bit oriented. You're not thinking about the peace, but you're kind of a little bit leaning into it. You're a little bit oriented into it. You think this is good or something. And you feel, you know, for a long, it takes a long time. But after a while, you realize, you know, this is also tiring. This is also a little bit stressful to do this, like, just like, even as like the subtle appreciation of the peace. What if I don't even appreciate the peace? And then there's just a subtle sense of being aware of just the beingness, just being. And after a while, just being seems like, well, why am I focused on being? What if I just not focus on anything? And then the being disappears. So, the main thing I wanted to say, using that analogy, is that in ordinary life, you might be contending with all kinds of windstorms and storms of all kinds. And they can be important storms, important things to take care of in life. And what's called on for most people to do this is to really apply themselves and you know, like maybe you have to be a person and be strong and be confident or be something. You have to be someone and assert yourself and do all this. And you know, you don't really even notice you're doing it because you're just dealing with the windstorms of life. And it maybe actually makes you a little more efficient to take care of the windstorms about, you know, that you're the doer, you're the agent, you have to apply yourself. But when the windstorms of daily life fall away, you know, taking the strong, confident stance, applying yourself, being the agent who's going to fix the world and save the world, whatever you're doing, it's just too much. And then you realize this is a limitation. And you might even realize there's a lot of conceit involved. There's a lot of ego and self-identity and all this stuff involved that I didn't see operating when I was just taking care of all this stuff. It was, when I had young children. There was, you know, windstorms all the time. it didn't really matter when I had young kids. It didn't really matter if I was conceited or if I was attached to anything. It just, you know, it was not a, you know, it just didn't care. I mean, there was no space for it. But then they grow up and then you're left alone and things get quieter and then, wow, there's conceit, there's attachments, there's wanting, wow. And so, and then, as we see that, then we can feel it, we're in a different way, it'd be satisfying to be in the world differently, in a more relaxed way or something. But as we keep practicing, and that's the value of this practicing we do, the practicing allows us to begin putting down layers and layers of what we're doing that's extra. And as we put down layers and layers, we also start seeing where our attachments are. We see what where we're caught. We see how we don't accept the moment. We see how we have expectations of what should be instead of being content with what is. And we start seeing it in more and more subtle ways that's operating. And then if you really feel it, you have a clear mindfulness and present for it, at some point you can feel this is tiring or too much or too contracted or too limiting or something. Something that initially felt really good and you celebrate it, if you experience enough of it and you have enough sensitivity to it, at some point it just gets tiring. It just as you start seeing the extra, these extras. And so we can, and so especially in doing meditation, you know, you can go these layers and you can go deeper and deeper layers, sometimes in deeper layers in meditation than you can in ordinary life or just walking along the beach, you know, the cliff and sitting on a bench or something. And so it's a movement of coming to a certain kind of coming home, and I call it coming home because it is such feeling of goodness or such feeling of contentment or healthiness in that place. Or to say it a completely different way, why would you want to be attached? Why would you want to be resisting and caught up and identifying and why do all this extra stuff that's not needed? Why, when the wind has died down, are you leaning forward and pushing against nothing? It's just like, why would you bother? And so some people really understand intimately all the stuff that they don't have to do because it's painful to do it, it's suffering to do it. And that's just enough for them, just to put it down. For other people, it's like the other side of the hand, they feel how good it is to not be doing those things. And so there's a movement to doing, kind of doing less and less and less. And in meditation, it can be, that's, you know, there are occasional at time when you start to fall, you kind of, you have a natural movement to doing less and less and less. And the real advantage of this, the real kind of, in Buddhism at least, in Theravadan Buddhism, the real purpose of this is to have a visceral, clear experience of not doing nothing, though that's the vehicle to discover what we're trying to do. If you come down to a very still, quiet place, you experience a powerful way in which we let go, in which there's no clinging. And to really experience a visceral, deep experience of non-clinging, non-clinging to self, a non-clinging that self disappears, self-concept, self-identities, everything disappears. That is like a finger pointing, they say in Buddhism, finger pointing to the moon. That's pointing, or that's more than pointing. You know something now, and the capacity of the heart, capacity of the mind to not cling. To know the goodness of that, to know that why would I start fighting a wind, pushing against the wind, when there's no wind at all? And so we realize, and so then to come to realize this place of non-clinging, that becomes a reference point. That becomes a visceral, palpable sensitivity to a way of being in the world where the mind does not cling to anything, doesn't grab a hold of anything, doesn't resist anything. And there is a life of freedom. And then you might come up someday to a very strong wind that requires you to lean into the wind and be very careful how you put your steps, and you have to. But you'll do it with your body, but you won't do it with your mind. Your mind will stay peaceful as you do it. Or some quality of awareness will stay peaceful and spacious or something. So I hope you have a chance to have some windless days. And maybe that's what you experience in meditation. Windless days, windless hour, where the winds of the world are nothing you have to contend with. And then you'll see, because there's no real winds to contend with, maybe what you start seeing is all the extra things you're doing that maybe you can put to rest, you can quiet down, let yourself become simpler. May the winds of the world not affect your heart.